Hey friends, it is Tim, and it is Thursday, the 28th of May, and as I record this, it is raining outside right now, and it feels fitting. I actually recorded, last week I recorded three or four podcasts on politics. I was quite proud of them, actually, and the last week happened, and now just kind of like stepping back, politics has been divided for a while. Our country has, especially around politics, things have been divisive for a while. We've talked about that. That's obvious. But over the last week, I have noticed there's a unique venom out there right now. People have been, good people have been unkind. And I'm not going to share the podcast on politics because what I've discovered is people's words, no matter what the intention behind the words are, they're being used against people. We are, we can do better, can't we? We can do better. So I'm going to sit on those for a bit. However, there was an article that, I'm like you, I've read a lot of articles, magazine articles, newspaper articles, news articles over the last several weeks. But there was one that it resonated at such a profound level. It tapped into a nerve with me. This person put words to what I was feeling and what I have been feeling. And so I thought, you know, in lieu of sharing a bunch of theological and historical observations about politics, I'm just going to read you a letter from a former pastor that I had never heard of before. Somebody had shared it on a Facebook wall, and I randomly clicked through, and I found myself tearing up as I read it. I'm just going to read somebody else's work, so I hope that's okay with you. But this is it was written on May 23, 2020. The article is called Opening the Doors by a gentleman named Phil Stout. And the website is philstout.com. philstout.com. This is the article. May I have a moment of your time to talk about when and how your church resumes gathering? This is not advice to pastors. I'm sure they're getting plenty of unsolicited advice. I want to share my perspective for those of you who are waiting for information from your pastors. I'm not currently leading a church, and no one has asked me to speak on behalf of those who are, but I had the privilege of serving as a pastor for 30 years, and my life is full of friends who are in that role. So there are a few things I'd like to share about my sisters and brothers, those amazing souls who are leading churches. First of all, for your pastor, this is not a partisan political decision, as much as a real, serious, deadly global pandemic has been politicized in the U.S., your pastor is not opening the doors of the sanctuary based on the cable TV pundits. I know there are exceptions. Over the past couple of months, we've heard about pastors who made absurd theological or political statements while endangering the lives of their congregations. Many have contracted COVID-19, and some have died as a result of that ignorance and arrogance. But those few are not representative of your pastor. Even though we know we shouldn't, pastors carry a heavy sense of responsibility for people's spiritual well-being. We know you are responsible for your own life, but we can't help it. Pastors study, plan, pray, preach, shepherd, counsel, administrate with your spiritual and emotional health in mind. And now they are asked to deal with your physical well-being. They are being asked to make decisions that, for many people they love, could be life or death decisions. So no, they're not making this call with the 2020 election in mind. And they've been listening, conferring, and praying about this. None of my sisters and brothers who are leading churches are taking this lightly. No one is winging it. I'm guessing that most churches are going to take this slow. Church buildings are not designed for social distancing. I was a part of three phases of building a church campus. Believe me, most of our discussions with architects revolved around how to maximize our space, how to allow for large numbers of children, youth, and adults on a limited budget where every square foot felt overwhelmingly expensive. We discussed your seating space in inches, not in 6-foot units. Your church leaders don't have the funds or the time to retrofit your church for the new reality. This is going to take time. Mistakes will be made, but your pastor is trying to make sure those mistakes are not fatal. So, in my humble opinion, here are a few do's and don'ts for the coming months. Number one, give your advice and opinion only when it's requested. Don't send your pastor YouTube videos about the real truth of the pandemic. Don't say, "Did you ever consider?" Because yes, they have. They've been talking to other religious leaders and to physicians. They've been consulting with the lay leaders of your church, reading denominational directives, and asking God for guidance. They've been laying awake at night praying for you. Again, they're not winging it. When you return, do wear a face covering. Don't argue with the ushers at the door. Don't make this about your rights. Don't make snide remarks. Don't put weird slogans on your mask. Just see it as an act of love and solidarity. You're protecting others. If we can't do that in church, well, three, be patient, incredibly patient, more patient than you've ever been with your fellow worshipers. That young mom, as amazing as she is, has no idea how to keep a face covering on a five-year-old. That young father doesn't know how to keep his toddler from snotting all over the place. That elderly person may feel panicked when he or she can't get big breaths through the mask and may pull it off. We're entering a new reality. It may be years before we share the Eucharist in the manner we used to. We won't pass the peace like before, and it's going to take each one of us some time to adjust to this new world. So be nice. Number four, remember that the decisions made by the leaders of your church cannot be specific to one demographic. One size does not fit all. So there may be policies put in place that make no sense to you, but they do make sense to other people with other needs and challenges. This should be a time when the church really feels like a safe place, and it will take every one of us to make it so. Number five. And of course, remember that you are responsible for you. No one is going to make you go back before you're ready. So if the timetable doesn't fit your preference, adjust for what is right for you and your family. Your pastor is feeling incredible pressure. There are no classes in seminary about pandemic ministry. They've been using their creativity and working extra long and hard to keep you connected during social distancing. And now they have to make some very tough calls. Everyone has an opinion, but some people have to make decisions. You can make this a time when grace prevails in the darkest of days. That's the article. It tapped into something in me. I can't tell you how hard I have worked to dodge partisan politics in the midst of this season. And I can't tell you how hard we have worked to pray. I deeply miss gathering with the church. I deeply miss worshiping with you all, those of you who attend church. I deeply miss it. I have a deep affection for you. This has been 8 years. We've been doing church together for, I've been here for 8 years, and I have moved from you are the people that I serve, to you are the people that I serve with, to you are my friends and my family. The other day, oh, it's really coming down now. Yeah, the other day I got a message from someone making some pretty bold claims, and it just hurt because this person is a good person, and I consider this person a friend. And I just found myself wanting to say, do you trust me? Do you love me? Do you understand the difficulty in this season? Do you understand it? A little grace. I'm honored to be part of a large team. I'm grateful that as a pastor, I have great pastors serving alongside of me, and that I don't have to go this alone. But if you are a pastor and you're walking this alone, my heart goes out to you. And if there's anything I can do to be an encouragement to you, please let me know. Please let me know. And for those of you who are part of our church, we'll be announcing some new things this weekend. We'll be announcing some ways we're going to be regathering. It's happening. It's going to happen soon, I hope. And when we do, it'll probably be weird. Let's just be honest. It'll probably be weird. And yet, our God is the same yesterday and today. And so we will worship him, even if we have to do so in new ways. But yeah, I plead with you, be good to each other, be good to each other, be good to each other. Listen, I get it. I see both sides of this. I see both sides. I understand. I've got good friends who have lost jobs in this season. And I've got good friends. I've got a good friend who just shut down a business. And I've got good friends who, if this comes through in their home, they may not survive this. And that fear is real. And so I get it. I've got opinions on it too. I've got opinions on what we should do too, of course. But it's not worth losing our friendships over waging our opinions. And so be good to one another. Be gracious to one another. Speak kindly of one another. And we'll worship our great God again together in person soon. But until then, take this season as an opportunity to teach your family how to worship together, to sing alongside of your spouse, to experiment with different forms of worship. Yeah. All right, friends. We'll talk again soon. But for now, grace and peace. Bye.